I invite a more dialogical sermon than usual tonight, and I want to prompt the conversation about Martin Luther King Jr. and this weekend and this text, which opens up themes that were very dear to his life and work, by talking a little bit about this book. It's called Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. This is a book written by one of Dr. King's mentors, a friend of his father. His father, Martin Luther King Jr.'s father, went to Morehouse College with Howard Thurman. And then when Dr. King went to Boston University, Howard Thurman was the dean of the chapel there and was one of his advisees. And Dr. King would carry this book with him when he traveled for speaking engagements, when he was a part of protests during the bus boycott. He always had it with him. And I reread it today. Catherine was spending the day reading and saying how joyful that was for her. And other than Waffle Church, I basically spent the day reading also, rereading this book. And it opens up, I think, some crucial pieces, not only that help us think about this text, but that help us think about Dr. King's life. And just a couple of things about Howard Thurman. He was born in Florida and was raised by his grandmother, who was a slave until the Civil War. And so he was deeply shaped by her and her faith. She couldn't read or write, and so when he was young, he would read to her from the scripture. And he was struck that she had him read devotional psalms and the gospels, but never Paul. And later, when he was older and visiting her, he asked her, "Why, Grandma, did you never ask me to read from St. Paul?" And she told him that the white slave owner who owned her would allow a white minister to come and do a service for the slaves 4 times a year. And the preacher always preached from St. Paul. And she said to herself during that time, if I get free when I get free, I am never reading St. Paul. So that was the reason. And it was deeply formative on him that even in a context of such harshness, that she was able to have self-dignity and hope. And so that was a grounding for his own faith, which led him to explore religion at Morehouse College. And then he went to Rochester Seminary in New York, where Dr. King also went later on, and then to found it one of the first interracial churches in the country. It was the Church for People of All Nations, or something, I forget the exact title of it, in San Francisco. And then he was called from there to be the dean of the chapel at Boston University, which is a Methodist university. This book, interestingly, starts out with a chapter on Jesus, and then the next chapter is on fear, and the last chapter is on hate. And they're both of those words, fear and hate, and love are all in here. He has a emphasis on the disinherited, the oppressed. That's who the book is addressed to, Jesus and the oppressed. And he describes Jesus as an oppressed person, as a person who was not a Roman citizen, but under Roman occupation, who was poor, and who understood what it meant to be harassed, to be disregarded, to be taxed beyond your ability to pay, all the things that were happening at the time. And so he relates very much to that experience from his own experience as an African-American in this country. And he starts out by saying the most important thing for people who are on the underside of the boot is for them to know that despite what the world says, despite what oppressive systems and people say, that their made and loved by God. And that inner claim of identity is what can allow a person not to despair in the midst of circumstances which would lead you to. And he relates that to Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is in us. And that reign of heaven, or that kingdom of heaven that's in us, is this conviction that we are God's and we are God's beloved, and that nothing else, no other word that can be said, can trump that. So then he goes on, there's three chapters in which he talks about challenges to loving. And the last chapter about challenges to loving is on hate. And he makes this interesting analysis about Jesus and whether or not Jesus could have understood hatred. And he says, what must have passed through Jesus' mind when he observed the contemptuous disregard for the Jews by the Romans, whose power had closed in on Israel? What thoughts raced through his mind when Judas of Galilee raised his rallying banner in defiance, sucking into the tempest of his embittered spirit many of the sons of Judah? He was a revolutionary leader in the years before Jesus' ministry, who was violently put down by the Romans. Is it reasonable to assume that Jesus did not understand the anatomy of hatred? In the face of the obvious facts of his environment, he counseled against hatred, and his word is love your enemies. And he asked why. And then he goes through the anatomy of hate. And one of the first things that happens, he says, in a situation of hating someone, is you don't see them. And when you don't see them, then you can disregard them. And when you disregard them, then you can act with ill intent and action towards them. So in his chapter on love, he goes through this hardest of invitations of Jesus to love not only friends and neighbors, but also enemies. And this really struck me. He is describing the hardest of these. He says, of course, we have like people who irritate us in our family, so we have to love them. They're kind of an enemy, but that's not so hard. And then there are like people in our network, in our group of people who cause problems, and we have to love them. But when it's Rome in this context of Jesus, that's the hardest kind of love of neighbor. And you can see him also thinking as an African American, who that would translate to. And he says that the very central thing in loving that kind of person is the Roman has to emerge as a person. That you can't just love the Roman, the category of powerful oppressor. That Roman has to become a person. And more than that, he says the love of enemy means that a fundamental attack must be first made on the enemy status, ratcheting down the categorization of someone as unapproachable, unlovable. And something that Hallie quoted in her Waffle Church sermon this morning, which was from a sermon by Dr. King on loving your enemies, clearly drawing straight from this book, is to say that the enemy does evil things, but is never reducible to those evil things. There's always more to that person than the bad that they've done. And that's a really crucial leverage point for backing down from the person being an enemy to being someone that potentially you could see as a person. And from that point, be able to find strength for an engagement that would turn the enemy towards something other than an enemy. Anyway, it's a beautiful book and inspiring to me. And I wanted to just open up conversation about how you think about Dr. King in this moment. by setting a little context for Dr. King's core teachings through this mentor of his and through this book, which was so central to his life and teaching. So let me stop there.